Hoshana Tova Tiki Tevu, which means may you be inscribed for a good year, as we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soulmate and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who will be sharing in a moment. But first, let us bow our heads and join me in our opening prayer. Abba, Father, as we have now entered into another year on your calendar, we give you the highest praise and honor. You are the King of Kings and Lord over all. Continue to watch and guide our paths in these turbulent last days. We pray for the victims of Hurricane Florence. May they come closer to you during these last days of Teshuvah. Or Teshuvah. We also ask that you never stop pulling on the heartstrings of our unsaved loved ones. We ask for your healing touch on any listener suffering afflictions. We pray for this ministry's finances, and may your face shine bright upon your bride as we push through our own personal flaws. Bless today's study, and may you alone be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you, my dear. And let me add the Hebrew expression, zamkal, which means have an easy fast, because tonight, which is Tuesday at sundown, began Yom Kippur, till sundown tomorrow. And that's when religious Jews all over the world are afflicting their souls, Leviticus 23:27. And that means a total fast for 24 hours. Yom Kippur is also the last day of Teshuvah.
Their yearly 40-day season of repentance.
Right. And there are some Christians who appreciate and enjoy their Hebrew roots teachings who like to observe the fast, not because it is required, for it is not, but because some just want to. By the way, it shouldn't be a petitioning fast, but rather solely to thank our Father for all that He has done for us.
And we should never say, Happy Yom Kippur.
Right, because Yom Kippur is the final day for serious reflection.
Actually, the most holiest day of the year.
Yes, so says Leviticus. And as well, in Jewish thought, a judgment day to either be included in or blotted out of the Book of Life, which is a type of what happens when Jesus, along with us, returns at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur. And that was our topic last week. And by the way, it is archived on shofarministries.net.
Now, today you will teach on tabernacles, which is also Jesus' real birthday. But first, any pertinent news?
Rioting continues on the Gaza northern border with Israel as hundreds of Palestinians continue to hurl rocks, burn tires, throw pipe bombs, fire bombs, grenades, incendiary air balloons at Israeli soldiers guarding the border. Many are injured.
How long will Israel let this go on?
Well, that is the question. Meanwhile, a 15-boat Palestinian flotilla set sail Monday from Gazan waters to break the maritime barrier Israel has built to shield its coast from terrorist attacks.
I am sure the Israeli Navy is awaiting their arrival.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about up north?
Syrian state media is reporting their air defenses actually shot down a number of Israel's missiles, but mistakenly shot down also a Russian plane, killing 14. Russia is very upset. Also, several powerful explosions destroyed a weapons depot near the Damascus International Airport, apparently bombed by Israel, targeting new arms deliveries. Then our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, is accusing Russia of consistent, systematic, and wide-ranging violations of U.N. sanctions against North Korea at a time that difficult and sensitive talks are ongoing.
Well, in other words, Russia is cheating on U.N. sanctions for North Korea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now Paul Manafort has made a deal with Mueller to lessen his jail sentence. Many are wondering what he will say to implicate President Trump.
Man, you know, Manafort only worked on the campaign for 3 months.
Yes, and without pay, I might add, because he volunteered his time, and now we know why. Manafort needed money very badly, and so he was selling his VIP influence with the president with anyone who would buy it, especially Russia, who Manafort has, over the years, special ties with over the Ukraine situation a few years back, which actually backfired. Anyhow, we'll see what happens, along with Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, who is also singing to save his own derriere.
Well, corruption continues forever.
It sure does. And President Trump has now declassified the FISA documents, which will shed more light on Mueller's very biased investigation. But it appears it's turning in Trump's favor, who has now added more tariffs on the Chinese, which really means higher prices to us consumers. But in the end, we expect it to turn in our favor, so they say. And now there are the recent sexual accusations about Judge Kavanaugh. His accuser, Christine Ford, did pass a recent lie detector test, but since it is over 35 years ago, it's way past the statute of limitations. So even if it proves to be just a non-starter, it still can delay the voting till after the midterms, and that is the real reason for all of this. So the far left can pick their own Supreme Court candidate, assuming they win back the House.
Well, you know, about assume nobody should. You shouldn't assume anything these days, you know?
Right. And by the way, she is a staunch Democrat and a Trump hater who attended the Women's March.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular snail mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Thank you, honey. And now let's get into the most joyous Feast of Tabernacles,
the seventh and final appointment of God.
Right. Okay, so we have covered the fall feasts of Rosh Hashanah, which is the creation of the world and Adam. Also Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, and the only day the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies in the temple. Then, 5 days later, on Tishri 15, they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the season of joy. And for Christians who study their Hebrew roots, well, we know it's Jesus' real birthday.
Yeah, supposed to be happy, which we can easily figure out by knowing just a few facts.
Right. Example. Scripture conveys that John the Baptist was born at Passover, and he was 6 months older than Jesus, so 6 months from Passover is Tabernacles exactly.
Now, how do we know that John the Baptist was born at Passover?
Oh, that's easy, because Luke 1 says that when the Levite priest Zechariah was serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel appeared to him saying he would have a son. But Luke also made sure in verse 5 that we knew Zechariah was of the rotating course of the family of Abijah, which, according to 2 Chronicles 24, meant he served in the eighth week on their religious calendar.
That tells us his conception would be at the time of Pentecost.
Right. How coincidental that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb at Pentecost.
I hear you. How do we know that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth immediately conceived?
Because Luke 1:24 says so. Now in English it says, after those days. It should say right after those days. But actually in Greek it says meta tata, which means immediately.
You know, it goes to show how everything in God's Word is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. You know, if one chooses to look a little deeper, as in our Hebrew roots, then studying to show thyself approved is actually very enjoyable. Important facts are often missed by casual reading. Unfortunately, our roots were mostly lost by the 4th century when Emperor Constantine decided to welcome the pagans into Christianity. So he compromised by mixing their pagan holidays in with the churches, who, except for the true born-again believers, by this time were accepting paganism anyhow, as noted in the Church of Pergamos in Revelation 2. And it morphed into tradition and is still here to this day.
Yep. And you know, December 25th is not Christ's birthday, but actually the festival of Saturnalia.
Yes, the deity of the false god of Saturn, and lasts for 7 days. However, Tabernacles has an extra day of Sabbath rest, so it is 8 days, and that's very significant.
Well, it's because Jesus' number is 8, which means eternity, as the number is never ending.
That's right. And on the 8th day, Jesus was circumcised, a picture of his new blood covenant.
But we must remember not to get too hung up on the day, but rather that he came.
Oh, that's so right. Actually, spiritually, every day is Christmas in our hearts.
If you are born again, says John 3:3.
Right. So as Christians, we should at least tell as many as will listen that Tabernacles is the real time of the birth of Jesus. He was born in a small barn called a booth, or sukkah in Hebrew. It is during this 8-day season that God told them, his people, in Leviticus 23, to live in a sukkah, so to memorialize how God took care of them in tents in the wilderness for 40 years when they left Egypt. The sukkah, or booth, symbolizes man's need to depend upon God for his provision of food, water, and shelter. Now, this is true in the spiritual realm as well. The booth is the type of the physical body, a temporary dwelling place for our souls and spirits. Also, these booths were made with branches and leaves, so you could see the stars through the roof at night.
God did say in Genesis 1 that the sun, moon, and stars were also for signs.
That's right. And many suspect that the wise men, who, by the way, were not fortune tellers or astrologers from the Orient, but rather very wise Jewish sages from the east of Jerusalem.
Well, you know, Babylon is east of Jerusalem.
Yes. And we know that some Hebrews still remained there from that captivity long before that.
And we know this because Peter greets them in 1 Peter 5.
He actually does. So, perhaps while lying down in their tabernacle booth looking upward is just maybe how they saw the star in the east as recorded in Matthew 2. And since they were Jewish sages and studied the Old Testament, they knew that God prophesied about a particular star out of Jacob centuries before in Numbers 24:17. So they were always looking. And we read in Matthew 2 that they did tell Herod that they had seen the star in the east.
Interesting that Jesus comes from the east when he returns in Revelation 19.
Yes, and John 1:14 also supports his birth during the season of Tabernacles by saying that the Word became flesh to tabernacle amongst us. The Greek word is skenos, and it means tabernacle. Another hint, again, that he was born in this happy season of joy, which the angel also stated, giving us still another clue.
Mm-hmm. And, it's a known fact that shepherds don't have their flock out at night in December.
That's true, absolutely. And let's not forget the swaddling clothes that he was wrapped in, specifically recorded for our knowledge in Luke 2, verse 7.
And a huge clue as to the timing.
Yes. Another custom is that every year on the first day of Tabernacles,
Tishri 15,
right, the priests would bring their white linen undergarments and exchange them for new ones. Then these linens would be tightly wrapped to be used for the wicks in 75-foot tall candles that were lit every sundown during the week-long feast.
Which is why Tabernacles is also called the Feast of Lights.
So, these white linens would be in abundance, but only during this season. So therefore, they were called swaddling cloths because they swathed the priests under their outer garments. It was during the lighting of these humongous 75-foot candles in John 8 that Jesus says to the Pharisees that he was the light of the world.
A very opportune time, which he was excellent at arranging.
Actually, it was probably already set up from long ago. That I can tell you for sure.
So, Sunday, September 23rd this year at sundown is the real Christmas Eve in 2018.
That's right. You know it. And begins the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, on God's Hebrew calendar, again, it begins on Tishri 15 for 8 days. What is remarkable is that when you count 280 days back from the full moon of Tishri 15, you come to the 8th day of the new moon of Hanukkah. Remember, his number is 8. So that means he was incarnated into Mary on the last day of Hanukkah, also known as the Lesser Feast of Lights, and born on Tabernacles, also known as the Greater Feast of Lights.
Well, you know, that's very fitting, as he is the light of the world.
Mm-hmm. Everything is immaculately detailed, way ahead of its fulfillment by God himself. And he allows those who choose to pursue it access to so many amazing gold nuggets. And so, this feast has a double fulfillment in that when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, 5 days later, he will set up his kingdom on earth and will tabernacle physically with us, this time as our king. This Feast of Tabernacles ushers in the millennial kingdom, that glorious season of joy, and will continue to be celebrated yearly.
You know, as told to us in Zechariah 14,
it is. Now, other names for tabernacles is the season of rejoicing and the season of dedication, because King Solomon's temple was dedicated during Sukkot, which is Hebrew for tabernacles, 1 Kings 3. This season is also called the Feast of Ingathering, in that all of the harvest would be gathered in, just like we, his righteous, will be gathered into the millennial kingdom, like we read in the parable of Matthew 13, when the wheat is separated from the tares, which are then thrown in the fire. Picturing the end of the tribulation of the separation of the sheep and the goats, as explained in Matthew 25. It's really not hard when you get serious and start connecting all the dots. So why don't more Christians know this? Well, it boils down to choice. Many just don't want to learn their first century roots of their faith. You know, from the time when Jesus walked. Now, I do recommend George Foote Moore's First Century Judaism, and I do not recommend any teachings written during or even after the Dark Ages. And, of course, there is much information on our webpage with all the archived newsletter teachings and radio programs. So learn and be sure to share. And know this, without a doubt, demonic influences will speak quietly in your mind that it's too hard to learn. Even solid Christians have admitted to me they shy away because it's just too deep. When just the opposite is the truth. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge. The word for perish is dama, and it doesn't mean to perish or be destroyed. It actually means to be made dumb or silent. So it really reads like this. My people are made silent for lack of knowledge. Because if you don't have the knowledge, obviously you are going to be silent about it. You know, you can't share what you're not willing to learn. So just take it in baby steps. You should never stop learning anyway. Hebraic Roots connects the questions with answers, especially on eschatology. Remember, God set the stage long ago by organizing detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was Jewish, would use in order to give us huge clues. So to understand how, what, and why certain things must be. Many ceremonies, by the way, if you, I have a minute, so I'm going to talk about this. Many ceremonies were also done during these feast days, all having symbolic meanings, like the house of the water pouring, where the priests would take running water from the pool of Siloam in Shiloh, which is a name for the Messiah, and it was called living water, and they would pour it out at the same time as wine is poured out from a vessel, merging them together, the water and the wine, and pouring it over the altar. This is a type of Jesus' side being pierced, where blood and water stream out from his body on the altar of the cross. You know, in John's Gospel, chapter 7, we read where Jesus uses another great opportunity to declare to his people, "If you are thirsty, come to me and drink." Another ceremony is the waving of the lulav, Leviticus 23, 40 through 41. And it says, "And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Since the palm branch, called the lulav, was the stiffest and the most prominent element of the four species, the whole ceremony was called the waving of the lulav. But more was added to the bunch, like a fruit, usually a citron or a large lemon. It was also called an etrog, to be held upside down in the left hand. In the right hand, they would tie together the branches of a palm, a myrtle branch, and a willow. Then bring both hands together, turning the etrog upright, and with both hands wave the entire lulav north, south, east, and west." So, what does this spiritually represent? A marriage. We are the fruit, and after we are turned upright and made righteous, we then turn ourselves to interlock with Israel. Be grafted in, Romans 11:17. Also, it's for anyone to join together as one body, having different strong points as the different kinds of branches portray. We need all peoples having different gifts represented by the lulav. You see, the date palm has no fragrance but does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit but has a nice fragrance. The willow has no fruit or fragrance but looks pretty and makes the sound of a rushing wind when swayed as they hear in the ceremony. Oh, and one more thing about these different branches. They are all found in diverse places. Willow in the brooks, myrtle in the mountains, date in the palms, valleys, the citron grown in the fertile, very low valleys of the lowlands. You see, anyone can join the body of Christ. Just do it before it's too late. Till next time, Sha'ulu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.